This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler, hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool, and come gather round the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. So imagine a cybersecurity company faking a computer hack against your company, and then extorting you and your company to buy its cybersecurity services. Now, imagine you refuse to be coerced, so this company lets the U.S. Federal Trade Commission know about the hack. Then the FTC gives you two choices, both of them bad. You can cop a plea, which will utterly destroy your company's reputation, even though you and your company were victimized. The second choice is to fight it in court. Good luck. You may be able to fight City Hall, but try taking on a huge and powerful federal agency with very, very, very deep pockets. Forget it. Well, this all happened, but not just to one company. The company that was utilizing this mafia-style shakedown is called Taversa. And among their highly decorated board members is former NATO commander, U.S. General Wesley Clark. That name should sound familiar. But wait, it gets worse. Taversa, a privately owned company, is partnering with the U.S. federal government, the Department of Homeland Security, to shake down other companies. Why is this happening? How can this happen? Michael Dougherty is the small business owner who created LabMD, a cancer detection center in Atlanta, Georgia, which became a victim of these governmental practices. And he'll join me shortly. Second hour, Matt Landman, activist, researcher, speaker, and filmmaker. His documentary is called Frankenskies, and we'll talk geoengineering and chemtrails. All right, let me introduce the boys in the band. Behind the big audio board on the Flying V Gibson guitar, technical producer Ian Robertson. Here in studio with me on the Rickenbacker bass guitar and occasionally the theremin, the mysterious, the idiosyncratic Albert Vinzel. And finally, my story producer. Albert is. And last but not least, on the Hammond B3 live YouTube stream producer, Ryan White. Gents, thanks for all you do. Next week on the program, Preston Dennett will be here. He has a brand new book, Undersea UFO Bases, and a psychic Angela Thomas. All right, let's talk about this cybersecurity shakedown that's taking place, apparently under the auspices of the U.S. federal government. And the U.S. federal government, who knows, maybe the same thing going on up here, has been watching your workstation longer than you think. Small business owner Michael J. Dougherty is fighting back against U.S. government's sinister surveillance tactics in his book, The Devil Inside the Beltway, the shocking exposé of the U.S. government's surveillance and overreach into cybersecurity, medicine, and small business. Michael, welcome to The Conspiracy Show. How are you?
I'm well, and that was one of the best and most concise summaries I've ever heard. Congratulations.
Well, you know,
how refreshing.
A lot of people raise their eyebrows when they hear the word conspiracy, or maybe they just back out of the room slowly. I get a lot of that at Christmas parties. But this is a real live conspiracy, isn't it?
Well, it has been. Actually, the file was stolen 10 years ago last month, and if you would have told me my life would do like this crazy turnabout, and I'm still talking with this and fighting it, I mean, it's really a sad state of affairs because it's all true. What it took for people to believe it is terrifying, because I think 99% of people couldn't go through or do what I got done because of resources, networking, time, position in life, you know, motivation. If this wouldn't have happened to a cancer detection center, I wouldn't have fought it.
Right.
But it is such the healthcare. So it is it's unbelievable that that you're accused of being a conspiracy theorist, and then it turns out you're not. And that's even more terrifying.
So take us back. Again, just to give us a little explanation about what LabMD in Atlanta, what you did there, and then why you were targeted and how you were targeted.
Well, I have a degree in economics, but I worked in medicine for years and surgery as a device rep. I founded LabMD as a medical laboratory because all of my clients had frustrations. I worked so close to them in the operating room that I understood exactly what they needed. I created it and built a very successful company. And it was a cancer diagnostic laboratory with top pathologists and top software. And those two combinations made for quite a formidable company in a real niche of just prostate cancer.
And a target, apparently. And a target, apparently.
Well, that's a random thing, because everyone was a target by this company if they had valuable information that could be leveraged against them, which would be banks, medical, military, government, anything that turned out. So it wasn't a... People often ask, what did you do to get someone so mad at you? And really nothing. It really was a lottery. And then it was the rare situation where the government got involved. And because this is really a story about government incompetency, and then they get corrupt when they try to cover up how utterly stupid and damaging they are.
Right.
And then they show such outrageous behavior. I mean, and then... The tragedy overarching all this is, and we're seeing this so much more now. I mean, 5 years ago when I was saying this, people were like looking askance at me, like, what's up with you? But what's even worse now is that some people actually do believe it and do understand it, that we are seeing so much corruption at the top. So many people, what I call it, they exploit our patriotism. They violate our trust. They really box themselves in a corner so that they lose their whole careers. So they, once they're tainted, and it just goes on and on.
Yeah, corruption and incompetence is a deadly combination, and they become, with those two sort of arrows in their quiver, if I can use that term, they become a public menace. Now, take us back, though. How did this happen?
Literally,
how did you find out?
We were debt-free, profitable, growing, 40 employees, 700,000 patients in the database. And again, we're a medical laboratory, so anything that comes in the laboratory is like, jars of tissue of patients and blood and urine from their doctors around the United States. 26,000 square feet, beautiful lab in Atlanta. Phone rings, the guy named Robert Bobick, it's 2008. He says, I run a cyber mediation company. Oh, we're here to help. Just wanted you to know, we found one file with 9,000 of your patients out in cyberspace. I said, how'd you find it? Prove it. He sent the file, and he said, we suspect that you must have some peer-to-peer software somewhere in your company, because we do that type of search, and we found it out in cyberspace. If you'd like to use this to remediate it, we suggest you do it the sooner the better, because the longer it's out there, the more it multiplies, the more it spreads. I asked him, what's the IP address, and he wouldn't tell us a thing unless we hired him. Now, you have to understand, in medicine, that's not how we roll. Patients are first. You don't even, and so, and we're so drilled with HIPAA. All I know is I've got a total stranger who's giving me no proof that's got our file. He's giving me no proof that he didn't break in and take it. And my and since our differentiation of the company against these massive corporations was our IT expertise, I had four full-time people that thought this guy was nuts. They're all tech people. Said it wasn't possible. So we went out on the networks. We couldn't find the file anywhere. I made this guy talk in email, which is very documented in the book, so people can make their own opinion of how he worked and not have to listen to me, but they can read the emails themselves. And he just got upset when I wouldn't hire him, and then he had his lawyer call us and say he's going to turn us over to the feds. And I had no idea the feds operated like this, because the feds we work with used to be really great practitioners. I mean, in medical regulatory in labs, they were pathologists and technologists. So I didn't have an experience of these politicized lawyers with no education in what they're regulating. So I was naive. And 2 years later, in 2010, the FTC started investigating us.
This is the Federal Trade Commission. And the Federal Trade Commission, I mean, their mission is supposed to be protecting consumers.
Right. And that's what they think. And this is their justification for everything they do. This is the irony. It's we need to go after people because we're protecting the consumer. And they will repeat that ad nauseum like a mantra, and that is as some sort of justification for their outrageous behavior. And in my instance, it's so terrifying. It was actually off-putting to people to listen to the story, because they'd get so scared that you would have an agency with no healthcare training, with no cancer diagnostic training, with clearly no technology training, come in a self-righteous manner and just utterly destroy the company from within with relentless investigation. And when the government's investigating you, and the press broke it in 2012 so that the employees all knew and they get afraid for their own job security, the government wins when you're only accused, not proven guilty.
Right.
Just the accusation raises doubt, and people run because they don't want to lose their jobs. When they have time, they find jobs elsewhere. And
Welcome to justice in the 21st century.
Right.
Michael Dougherty is with us, the devil inside the beltway. So, let's just sort of back up here a moment. So, this cybersecurity firm, Tyversa. Did they actually break in, or did they fake it, or did they actually breach your security?
We found out after I wrote the book, a whistleblower came out, and it was a guy that actually stole the file. So in 2014, after fighting this for years and then being in court, a whistleblower called and said, "I stole it. We come in and took the file. It was never found out in cyberspace. That's a lie. We've been working with the FBI in Pittsburgh. In that work, we have been stealing metadata unbeknownst to the FBI, and then we break in to corporations and take files, alter the files to make it look like they're on cyberspace, call the company, tell them they're out in cyberspace. The FTC believed that lie, never vetted the evidence, and went after a bunch of companies. It's all a lie.
Now, how did
and it's really the data was never out there. Therefore, it was never spreading. Therefore, when we get hired to fix it, it looks like we're miraculous because there's nothing really to fix.
So again, this is totally sort of a mafia style shakedown operation. But here's the thing: Tyversa has, as I mentioned off the top, some pretty highly decorated individuals sitting on their board of directors, including the former commander of NATO, Wesley Clark.
Yeah, it's the advisory board, which is even the board of directors, but it's more a little more protected. And the advisory board had Wesley Clark, at the time Obama's head of cyber for the White House, which was Howard Schmidt. He's passed away about a year, 2 years ago, and Poneman, among others. And, you know, this is the way the crony game is played. The other thing about this is this company was founded by Bobek, who was a chiropractor. this guy's a chiropractor, and 2 years later he's founding a tech company and getting this advisory board and writing about it in the press about how that's the secret to opening Washington.
Because All right.
You get these big names that think they'll make a fortune on the stock.
Michael, I got to jump in and take a quick timeout. We'll come back and continue to delve into this harrowing story. The devil inside the Beltway and the victim of this shakedown scam. Michael Dougherty is with us, and he stays with us. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us.
Big Brother is listening, and so are you. To The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Peering into the shadows, where the truth often hides. You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Michael Dougherty stays with us. The Devil Inside the Beltway. Harrowing tale. His company victimized by a mafia-style shakedown. A company called Tyversa broke into his company's database. This was a company in the medical field and a cancer diagnosis company. They stole one of the files, then tried to extort this company, saying that your security's been breached and we can offer you a quick fix. When the company refused to be extorted, they were blackmailed, and this company went to the FTC. So the Federal Trade Commission then, Michael, gives you two options, as I pointed out. Which option did you elect?
Well, I elected to fight because what they didn't understand is when you're in healthcare back then, maybe not now, ironically, 9,000 patients leak out in 2010 or 11, people are going to stop using us. Blue Cross loses $86 million, 5 years later, and no one bets an eye. But for the time, I chose to fight because it was the only way we could go down and still educate people. If I would have settled, we would have been destroyed. And no one would believe me, because once you sign, I mean, the public is so not interested and so not educated in what they are buried in these contracts. And I get that. There's just no time to review it. People don't really understand how vicious these lawyers are with the government. They are not, they're not the military coming to help you. and they're not people you elect. They are something else.
And you lost, essentially. I mean, you ran out of steam, right? You ran out of resources.
Well, that's a great one. I say we lost. Lots of people in the media say we won because we won so many legal battles, but the company died. And so I'm really fighting to educate the country and really internationally because of this is how they work. I mean, people just don't understand the power that has been given to the agencies since Woodrow Wilson was president because we don't understand how it impacts us, and we're at such a tipping point because between cybersecurity and medicine, the government has entrenched so much power to control those things with people that don't know what the heck they're doing, and carnage ensues. And that's why we have so much cybersecurity in defense. We're so vulnerable. It's such a mess. And these people have a culture of no accountability. So they can come pounding down on you. And really, who's going to believe you? I mean, the media barely reports it. I think we're connecting the dots more now. But it has to really be understood that it's in your self-interest to learn how these agencies operate, not because you're supposed to give me some great funeral or a pat on the back, but that this is your government and this is how they operate and this is why you're not safe.
Right. And you had to let 40 employees go when you shut down, and all of the cancer patients that were reliant upon your company all destroyed.
Practices.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about Tyversa. And did they just go rogue, or they were working alongside the FBI doing some sort of a sting operation? How did this happen?
No, it's funny. It took about a year, but Rick Wallace, who's the guy that came in, got criminal immunity from the Justice Department, and he testified in 2015, and he said that they would just take this data and they'd manipulate these files. A lot of it still, I mean, that company's still around, but they're down to one employee. I mean, it's pretty much as comatose as you can get. But it was the same game against everybody. People would just believe them because they didn't know. They'd get these contracts. They'd get these relationships. They'd work with the government. Working with the government was their entree of credibility to get hired by corporations. And Darrell Issa got involved, had a congressional investigation, congressional hearings, put out a big report. And basically, the FTC is looking for companies to go after. They call for leads. They used to call the newspaper. You know, now they call the internet. They found this at this hearing when Tiberius was in front of House Commerce and House Oversight, and they started working with them. And ISIS said they had a quid pro quo relationship so that the FTC would tell Tiberius who they're investigating, and Tiberius would call them up and then sell them these big packages to, you know, monitor and remediate. And then Tiberius would kick companies over to the FTC to investigate. And it was what the Congress called quid pro quo. And it's pretty amazing. There's an entire infrastructure within the country to really protect the government from any criticism. Because people are afraid of retaliation or they're very pro-government. One of the two issues. It depends on what situation. So this story never really gets out. And this happens repeatedly. But that's what went on with Tiberius. They're making a boatload of money. Boatload.
And what was the relationship, if any? I may have misread this, but I thought there was a relationship between Tiberius and the Department of Homeland Security.
Well, that relationship was the very beginning of what I found out of how they got involved with me. Homeland Security had given $24 million to Dartmouth. And Dartmouth was doing a study on peer-to-peer vulnerabilities within the healthcare setting. So that government-funded study was Tiberius was used, and their technology was used to go look for files. And so they put a press release out in 2009 that said they're working with the Homeland Security funded study with Dartmouth, and they are monitoring 4.5 million workstations worldwide. They've downloaded 13 million files. They can do X billion searches per day. If that kind of press release would be put out today, it would make the news. That press release put out in 2009, no one understood what it meant. So they got away with it.
Okay, so the question here for me that jumps out is, given the testimony of this whistleblower, Richard Wallace, who worked with Tiberius and admitted that they were breaking in, breaching your security, stealing your files, extorting you, and then blackmailing you to the FTC, what is your recourse? Because what's the legal term? This type of prosecution that you're getting from?
persecution through process, retaliation,
right?
Revenge. There's all sorts of. But it's very difficult to sue the government. Everyone laughs in D.C. D.C. knows all the rules. Well, they've had a century to build trapdoors and loopholes. And so they really smirk at anyone that tries to hold them accountable, including Congress. They smirk at Congress. I've sued and actually survived the motion to dismiss that got everyone's attention. So we had to go to the Court of Appeals. We're waiting for the ruling on my suit. Because whenever you sue the government, they get immediate appeal. They have all sorts of favorable legal decisions because it's, the crowd, the swamp, the deep state. As far as Tiberius goes, well, there's insurance money. We are stuck in courts in Pennsylvania where it's unbelievable. We are in two different courts, and the judges have not even allowed discovery for almost 4 years. And so we have no discovery. We are stuck in such a battle. Pennsylvania is unbelievable. It is just beyond comprehension. So it's interesting how the victim, again, it's so disheartening to whistleblowers and victims, because my story shows how much the bad guys, if they're funded properly, can work the system against you relentlessly, especially when the government is involved
right.
in the bad behavior.
Right.
Then people's reputations are on the line, and they will start pulling favors and pulling information left and right.
Well, you know, it's interesting these days we're hearing a whole lot about the FBI thumbing their nose at any sort of congressional oversight. And the Congress is charged with overseeing the FBI, but the FBI doesn't seem to care. And it sounds like we're getting the same thing with the FTC. And this is, you know, another term we're hearing a lot about these days, and you can love Trump or hate Trump, but this idea of a deep state, this just confirms that.
Yeah, because this is not new. What's new is that we're learning about it. It's not new. The reason we're learning about it isn't just because of Donald Trump, but the level of incompetence has gotten to such a tipping point. No one cared before because they didn't see the negative. You saw the occasional story where someone would finally find the resources to fight all the way to the Supreme Court. Then the government would lose 9-0. That doesn't matter to the government. What the government wants is almost legendary story, so that whenever they knock on your door, you're quaking in fear, and your lawyer says, settle, settle, settle. So even if I win, you know, in 2022, the lawyers of other companies beat up by the government will be, look at what they did to LabMD, and they had such a weak case, and they did it anyway. So it's really going to take the public to really understand that you give people no election and no accountability and a lot of power. They know you can't get them, which is why the FBI thumbs its nose at Congress and agencies do. And honestly, there's a lot of people in Congress that keep that going, because if their brand is the government's wonderful, and if the government isn't wonderful, they don't have a job. And so they whistle past the graveyard. I think this is one of the key reasons why Trey Gowdy is leaving Congress, because it's just too hard to take. If you're in law enforcement and you're around this level of hypocrisy and lying, and it's mostly whistling past the graveyard. It's mostly ignoring all of it when you know it's right there. That's hard for a lot of people to deal with.
How many other lab MDs are out there that have gone through that had their companies wrecked and lives destroyed because of this shakedown game between companies like Tyverse and federal agencies like the FTC?
Well, I don't know about healthcare because I was the first, and this is also new, and I'm the first one that stood up. We're in the 11th Circuit now. We've been winning every way, but it's destroyed the company, and it's cost millions of dollars in legal costs that I've gotten pro bono because it's such an important case for the rest of the business community, because I actually might end up reining in the power of the Federal Trade Commission. It's such a game usually. Usually big business loves to have small business destroyed by regulation, because that means there's less competitors coming up and nipping at their heels. So there's this relationship between big business and big law and government regulators, which is so ironic, because you'd think that's what liberals would rail against. But they don't.
Well, that's the textbook. Excuse me, Michael, but that's the textbook definition of fascism.
Oh, yes, it is. It's a human condition.
Mm.
And, you know, and what's happened is it turned into fascism because of Woodrow Wilson, because Woodrow Wilson started these agencies with the intent that they would be run by people that knew what they were doing about these technical topics. You didn't want to have technology, you know, the Industrial Revolution, the Medical Revolution. You didn't have science regulated by politicians. Fair enough. But he also didn't believe such a jerk. This guy was a real jerk.
Oh, he was an avowed racist. He was an avowed racist.
He was. He was a terrible person, and he was a power monger, and he hated the separation of powers. And he built these agencies with autocracy, and that's what you get. That's, you know, that, and this is what he built.
And
I'm guessing it's inside that club. It's a good gig, and people wouldn't blow a whistle on it.
I'm guessing it's not just the FTC. Then there must be other. There must be federal agencies that are in on this shakedown.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's how they all look at the EPA. I mean, look at that poor couple. I think it was in Montana or Idaho, and you know, they had water on their property, and they were going to get run out of town. I mean, look at the Bundys. But when they took it all the way through up to the Supreme Court, and they won 9-0. I mean, you know, this is not partisan. The liberal justices are also absolutely appalled. But the game is this. You can't just stroll up to the Supreme Court. It takes a decade. It takes millions.
Right, right.
You know, you're going about your life. You have your business. 90% of the people are just going to go, I'm succumbing to a force greater than me. I'm running the other direction. I won't, you know, give it up. But, and I understand those decisions. 37 companies in a row rolled right over the FTC before I put my foot down. I'm the first and only one that stood up to them all the way. Wyndham tried to stand up to them a little bit, but they ended up settling. Because they, once you get to the, just before you get to the big Article 3 courts that the government can't control, you know, they settle too. I mean, they do not want to be put up in front of courts. So it's all a game because the government, you know, the Congresses of the past, the 20th century, who have really, you know, nailed us with problems in the 21st century, built this system where you cannot go to a court about what an agency is doing to you until they're done doing it to you. That's like letting the bully beat up the school kids in the schoolyard and tying up, you know, the superintendent until it's time to leave recess. And by this time, everyone's beat up, and then you can do something. And that's the perverse thing. But people, by and large, don't understand it. That's why I wrote the book. It's written like a novel. I want people to understand this, of why it impacts them, that you can't have these type of bullies showing up on your door. And they have no boundaries. And they go after the small. They don't go after the big that often because they want jobs at the big companies. They're afraid of the big law pushbacks from the big companies. But by and large, they go after lambs to slaughter. And the SEC does it, the EPA. I mean, somebody.
Well, they picked the wrong lamb this time, Michael. All right, stay put. We'll come back and continue to discuss this horrible, horrible situation. Big government versus the little guy, Michael Dougherty. Devil Inside the Beltway. Back with more in a moment.
PIN numbers, passcodes, social insurance numbers. If they make you wonder how private they are, here's two more numbers. 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Fasten your seatbelt and put your tray in the upright position. You're about to leave everything you know behind on The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
Devil in the Beltway. Michael Dougherty is with me, the Devil Inside the Beltway, excuse me. So if they're doing this to small businesses like yours, extorting you, first of all, breaching your security, stealing your cybersecurity, stealing files, and then trying to extort you into their services, and then if you refuse, taking that to the FTC, where you're given two options, either cop a plea, destroy your company's reputation, or fight it in court, which leads to financial ruin, which it did in your case. 40 employees lost their job. Who else are they doing it to? And I remember the I'm reading this story about this whistleblower, Mike or Richard Wallace, who said that they also, Tyversa, that is, and again, Wesley Clark was on their board of advisors. They tried to convince the U.S. government that Iran was hacking into the U.S. Defense Department, trying to hack blueprints from Air Force One or President Obama's helicopter.
This is a kind of a backfire. This is why I think a lot of times the government doesn't want to push this. It's so unbelievable. Turned out it happened is that they broke into a consultant's workstation and went into his computer in Maryland, and they had found a treasure trove of things from judges. And they downloaded Supreme Court Justice Breyer's information, a lot of federal judges' information, and Marine One. And what they do with this is they try to make money off of everything they could do. They try to build a fake crisis to be so that they'd be seen as the only solver of it. So instead of saying, "Hey, we found Obama's Marine One helicopter plans," which, by the way, they found they had right when he was, I don't know, president for 8 weeks in 2009. Instead, they created a fake IP address out of Iran, and with their media contacts, they broke a story that the media didn't vet. Now, we're learning now the media doesn't vet much. The media thinks things are moving so fast, they'll report now and apologize and correct later. And this maroon helicopter plan story just took off. I mean, it was on NBC News, you know, evening news and the Post and all over the place. And it was like, oh my gosh, Iran has our stuff. And it was all just a rattler to create this fake crisis so he could be seen as the solution.
It's the old Hegelian dialectic. You create the disease in order to offer the cure.
And then get paid for curing.
Yeah, that's a term we throw around a lot on this show, but here's a prime example. But here's the thing. That could have caused an international incident.
Well, yeah, and it could have caused an international incident, but since it didn't, makes people hide within the system of Washington that doesn't hold each other accountable. And it's kind of like, you know, you cover up my back, I cover up yours. We're all in some big small town here. In 20 years, something might happen to me, and then you won't come after me. I just think it's like the Sopranos go to Washington. It's all a social code of how to cope and survive in that town. And that's why I find their self-righteous discussions about how wonderful they are really hard to take now. I mean, these people are just fools. I mean, they're being made fools when you buy into this stuff, the self-righteousness. You know, I would say if the FTC cared so much about medical patients and cancer patients, they would have learned about cancer. You know, they would have learned, they would have wanted to come to the laboratory, which they refused to do. They love this esoteric type of crap where they're saving the world. But all it is it's the 16th century control of a crowd with a head on a spike for the 21st century. They just grab a company, they rip their reputation in the press, they publish everything they quote unquote did wrong. No one, and I mean no one, looks at the allegations and tries to verify. Even my own lawyers didn't do it. I made them go through and see that even the FTC commissioner's final ruling against me was packed full of absolute lies that could be proven in the court record they were lies. But it's shocking how nobody checks what the government says. And so they get off on this assassination of character, and they use that as an example for all the other companies to learn what not to do and how to be compliant with cybersecurity expectations from the FTC. And that's what I call just head on a spike.
Well,
like, do what LabMD did, and you'll be safe. And they think that's the greater good. They think I'm necessary carnage. I'm collateral damage for the greater good. That's how these people think.
Right, right. It's Orwellian, to be sure. Now, but you said something. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on this after the break. But you said something very interesting, and that is that these companies, like Tyversa, they will fake an IP address. They will make it look like, you know, this file was somewhere out in cyberspace and they were able to retrieve it and you have a breach and so forth. So now I'm thinking back to this whole, you know, the DNC having their servers hacked, at least they claimed they were, and but the FBI, you mentioned Trey Gowdy, I mean, I remember him being so outraged about this, learning that the FBI never actually looked to see for themselves who hacked the DNC server, and we're told, oh, the Russians are coming. But you just pointed out something very obvious, and that is these IP addresses can be faked. Who's to say that it wasn't Tyversa that hacked into the DNC server and then said, oh, there's a breach. It's the Russians. And we take their word for it. We'll pick up on that point and others. Michael Dougherty is with us in The Devil Inside the Beltway. This is scary stuff. More scary than werewolves and UFOs and Bigfoot, I'll tell you that much. Back with more of The Conspiracy Show. Stay with us.
Providing the evidence and letting you draw your own conclusions. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett on Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. The owners of the system are asleep. Now we can play The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett from Zoomer Radio.
Just a reminder, coming up in the next hour, activist documentary filmmaker Matt Landman will talk chemtrails. Franken Skies is the name of his crowdfunded documentary. It's been out a few years. Interesting guy, because he makes it available. He's not in this for the money. You know, he open sources this documentary, and anyone can see it. He's not in this to make a buck. He's really trying to raise or create a groundswell of public awareness about geoengineering. And you can laugh and you can scoff, but as I mentioned, I've mentioned many times, there's a Pulitzer Prize out there waiting for some so-called journalist who with an ounce of what we used to call intellectual curiosity. You know, maybe it leads nowhere, but at least tug on the threads and see what happens. Anyway, we'll get to that conversation a little bit later. Michael Dougherty stays with us, the author of The Devil Inside the Beltway. So I'm wondering, you mentioned about how Tyversa could fake an IP address and make a hack look like it came from somewhere else when it was them. So now I'm thinking about CrowdStrike. And I don't know if CrowdStrike is basically the same kind of company as Tyversa, but I'm remembering those claims by the Democratic National Convention that their servers were hacked into. And essentially we learned, Trey Gowdy, the House Oversight Committee, talking about how the FBI basically took CrowdStrike's word for it.
Well, okay, so let me say that Tyversa was involved in that because they were so decimated by that time, so Tyversa's on the table there. CrowdStrike, I happen to know a lot of people there, and I think they're a well-intentioned, good organization. The issue was, it was the DNC that screamed about their stubbed toe, but would let no one look at the wound. Then they hire CrowdStrike, and then, you know, that's a private contract, and the DNC controls all this. And then when CrowdStrike made a couple statements, they retracted them, and this is just how the game is played. But I wouldn't blame CrowdStrike, and I sure as heck would lay it all at the foot of the DNC, because this is all about creating a false narrative and gaslighting. Because here's the other thing that normal human beings don't get. Lying is normal in Washington. I mean, it is normal. And it is terrifyingly normal. It is just like a bunch of hollow heroes. And so it doesn't, you know, now that I've worked with so many people there, you either meet really passionate people that really get it and are there like happy warriors, or you meet the walking dead. I mean, the people that have really, you know, they built their careers in that place, and they know there's no way out, and you don't make enemies. It's all eggshell walking, and it's a lot of fear-based and survival-based. And people, I mean, gosh, you know, people can get destroyed in an instant after years of good service. Look at Tom Price. Boom, gone. You know, these people just, you know, it's a ridiculous amount of pressure, and loyalty is an absolute gentle charade. So this is why Donald Trump, ironically, is so perfect. He's like the Frankenstein that was created by that crowd. I mean, he totally knows what they're like, and that makes them crazy. And he pushes their buttons, and they can't help but bite. And I can't say it's okay, but everything I've learned in that town, I certainly understand, because they're it's tough to say, but they're that bad.
How many other Tyversas are out there?
Well, I think I was like the early ransomware. I was like the early ransomware. This, you know, they did it all really manually, right? Like, they used their software. They were working with the FBI. They used that software, the FBI, to hack in. Then they take the file physically, and they're working really slow motion, but getting really big money. Unlike these ransomware people now that have mass technology, and you never meet them. There's no phone call, you know. And so I think already Tyversa is antiquated and gone. But that doesn't mean that the same concept isn't going in just a different, more updated manner by other crooks. And now the crooks are outside the United States. You know, this is nothing more than ransomware on speed now. And they were the slow-mo original ransomware. And I think that one of the reasons, I mean, people use all sorts of excuses to ignore this because it's like, oh, well, it was a decade ago. Well, that's how they get you. You know, the government screws up, and that's one of their offensive plays or defensive plays. Run the clock, make it old, drain you dry. I mean, they have their hand, the government has their hands around your ankles and will not let go to let you to get an Article III court in time. And, you know, it's a playbook that's repeated over and over and over by different agencies and in different situations. But all these games of slow walking, ignoring, you know, financially starving, putting out press releases that kill your reputation, intimidating the press so they won't report it. That was one of Obama's biggest things, is he just intimidated the press so that you didn't want to make an enemy over there. You either get hurt or you get choked off from story. I mean, these people are absolutely at war.
Well, not only have these various federal agencies, we saw it with the IRS, where they were, I mean, not only have they become politicized, they have become weaponized. And the IRS, of course, going after some conservative groups and some Christian groups and so forth.
Right.
I mean, that's a matter of fact. We now know this was, absolutely Nixonian, what was going on there. And you just cited what's going on at the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. I mean, do they not now have the power, if they want to bring someone down, because they've become these agencies so weaponized and politicized and corrupt, if they want to put, let's say, child porn on a political enemy's computer, they'll do it?
Well, they don't have to do that. They just have to run you on they just put you on the legal treadmill and they run you till you drop. They have everything put in, and the only way to change this is to change those laws. And the only way Congress will change those laws is if the public demands it be changed. And this is why exposing the Democratic Party and the established Republicans is so important. And I was not a political guy, folks. This is not, you know, I was just helping diagnose cancer, you know, and suddenly I'm like this bad person in the press and because I'm standing up to the government. But they've got all sorts of tricks. They don't have to do that crazy. They've got so much power. They just put you on the treadmill and let you run, and it's pretty terrifying. And a lot of people don't want to help you because they're afraid of reputation assassination. They're afraid of retribution. They're afraid they'll never get any place in a company. You know, a lot of companies were afraid to hire me to speak because while they publicly want to thank me for all I'm doing for them in the FTC battle that they could benefit from to the tune of millions and millions of dollars and save regulatory costs should I win, I am not going to get a public thank you from many of them, and I'm not going to get an invitation to be paid to consult. And this is part of the power that the government uses to dissuade people from just picking up your marbles and gently moving down the road.
These companies like Tyversa that are working alongside federal agencies, have they been used, for example, this is all speculation, I suppose, but do you suspect they've been used to create, again, a false narrative that has then been taken to a FISA court?
Again, the FCC isn't smart enough or good enough to do that, and they don't involve the FISA court. No, I mean, really, I really mean this. The FCC is like the B-level attorneys that could never get into the Justice Department. And so, and they really are. And, you know, and I know that sounds terrible, but it's just a fact. And you wouldn't see the DOJ pulling that stuff. You know, you'd see it at the top, but they have other methods, you know, with these politicized people to do. Again, it's actually much simpler. It's simply cronyism. It's relationships. It's people that have been in that town for 2-3 decades, and that's their life. And everyone else is an outsider. And it's all the relationship, like so many other business transactions. It's just transactional relationships, and it's the silent rules. And you just, you know, you see, it's power versus power, and you tiptoe past the graveyard. Now, when someone like me shows up, I could care less about having a career in Washington. I want nothing from those people. They utterly disgust me. My life wouldn't be worthwhile if I had to be like them and I make it known. You know, then they try to belittle you, say you're a conspiracy theorist, call you a one-off, drain you dry, the media. I mean, look, some of the media really screwed up. You'll never see my company in the Washington Post. The Washington Post is a complete puppet of the FTC because one of the investigative lawyers used to work there. And so they just trusted their friend and didn't vet anything.
Well, they have a huge contract. They have a huge contract to make it to create this this cloud for the FBI. Talk about conflict of interest.
That's right. And that's right. And they worked, they burrow in and they worked the right people in Congress to slide that by. And then, you know,
it's very disheartening. It's very disheartening.
Again, it's a playbook used all over the place. And that's the big picture people have to understand.
People talk, you know, Trump has talked about draining the swamp, but it sounds like you can't drain the swamp because there's only swamp. Once you drain the swamp, there's nothing left. There's no Washington. It's only
swamp. Well, people do have to understand it. Really, it didn't start with Obama. You know, it started with Woodrow Wilson. Obama just took the game and poured gas in the fire to make it so hot. But it will take way longer than one term or one president to turn it around. I look at all these protesting kids, and I'm thinking, my gosh, you know, the civics books have been removed from these kids. They don't even understand how government works. They're running on emotion. They're being manipulated. I love their passion. I love their saliency. And God help the government when these kids figure it out, because they'll turn that anger. And you know, the fact they'll come out and protest this is great, although I think it's incredibly misguided. And to me, the root is proper education, which has been pulled out of schools on the government and government history. And that's why some people are confused by this and can't recognize it when it happens.
And then what happens when you have this critical mass of people that totally lose faith in all government institutions, all federal agencies and so forth, then you've got a real problem on your hand. They're not just marching, and it gets violent.
Yeah, but look, reap what you sow. I mean, I'm sorry we have to go through some pain to get healthy, but we have to go through some pain to get healthy because, you know, as time passes on, the 20th century is just going to be it was a terrible, terrible century of rooting so much corruption. It really created such a mechanism that's in complete violation of what the country's founded on. And we are now in a country that is just, people have to wake up. Your freedoms can be removed. These unelected people have pounding power on you. They can and will destroy you. I always say, if they're going to destroy a cancer detection center with 700,000 cancer patients, why do you think they're not going to come after you?
The Devil Inside the Beltway, the shocking expose of the U.S. government's surveillance and overreach into cybersecurity, medicine, and small businesses. Michael J. Daugherty, thank you so much for this.
Good talking to you, sir.
When we come back, geoengineering. Stay with us.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Live from Toronto, Canada, Earth, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio.
Well, thanks for inviting me into your home, long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi, your parents' well-appointed rec room, your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate, and your cabin in the woods. Hello to all of you listening in on our flagship station here in Toronto, Canada, Zoomer Radio, AM 740 and 96.7 FM. And hi to those catching us on one of our affiliate stations across North America, from Alaska to Texas and from Oregon to New Mexico. Hi to those of you who listen to the podcast. It's everywhere. Just Google it. It's everywhere. Those of you take the show with you wherever you go with the Conspiracy Show app and the Zoomer Radio app, both free downloads. Those of you who watch the live YouTube stream. And incidentally, please hit that red subscribe button. We just crossed over the 7,200 subs mark, and we're trying to get to 10,000. Help us out if you could. Finally, all of you loyal supporters who join us every week in the live stream chat, Wei Wei and Gord Oland and You Betcha and Baji Kimron and Merlin Wild and all the rest of you, I know there are more of you, and I didn't name you. I'll try to get to others. But thank you so much. However and wherever you're listening and watching, I bid thee the warmest of welcomes, and I thank you for your fine company. Have you subscribed to my new podcast yet? Both of them. I've got two of them. Conspiracy Unlimited. New episodes drop every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, go to conspiracyunlimitedpodcast.com and check it out. And then the Rock and Roll Twilight Zone, which is part of the Jericho Network in association with Westwood One. New episodes drop every Wednesday at midnight. So if you like rock and roll and dark mysteries, I think you're going to love the Rock and Roll Twilight Zone. Again, just Google it and a bunch of different places pop up where you can listen and subscribe. But it's available just about everywhere. You know, UFO researchers and advocates have been pushing for some kind of official disclosure from governments for years. And finally, it would appear that they're having some success. Witness the New York Times article last December where a military whistleblower came forward with details of a secret Pentagon UFO study, a de facto admission. The U.S. government knows about UFOs and is concerned about them. So a disclosure of sort. Well, one has to wonder if we'll ever get disclosure when it comes to chemtrails or geoengineering programs, if you prefer that term. We know the U.S. Defense Department has been trying to own the weather for decades. They even published a white paper about it, acknowledging this desire. It was called Owning the Weather by 2025. Many would insist they are way ahead of schedule. And many of you who listen to this program every week have noticed those long white trails, often visible behind jets flying at high altitudes. Strange, lingering, so-called contrails crisscrossing the skies and then slowly spreading out until the entire sky is covered in a dull gray haze. Many of you, no doubt, have asked yourself, what are they spraying? Maybe you even called the local paper and asked to speak to a reporter about it, only to be laughed at derisively. Maybe you took the extra step and called Transport Canada, and you were hung up on. Well, when are we going to get disclosure when it comes to chemtrails and geoengineering? I'm not holding my breath, but Matt Landman isn't just standing by idly. He's trying to create a groundswell of awareness with his crowd-funded documentary on this very subject. It's called Franken Skies. And he also organizes an annual geoengineering summit. The third is coming up this May. He's an activist, researcher, speaker, filmmaker, founder of actualactivists.com. And again, his documentary about weather modification, geoengineering, and solar radiation management, again, is all laid out nicely in Franken Skies, the movie. You can go to frankenskiesthemovie.com and watch it. And again, the third annual Global Summit to Stop Geoengineering at the Gallagher Theater, Saturday, May the 12th, 2018, University of Arizona in Tucson. And I know we've got some affiliates down that way. So if you're listening, try and get out there and support that. Matt, welcome to the program. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Very well. Thank you. My pleasure. You know, I was going back over some old articles, and here's one from MIT Technology Review. MIT Technology Review, and here's the headline. Harvard scientists moving ahead on plans for atmospheric geoengineering experiments. The climate researchers intend to launch a high-altitude balloon that would spray a small quantity of reflective particles into the stratosphere. And people can go on and they can Google that and look it up for themselves. But here is an acknowledgement. They're thinking about it. Whenever I see something like that, that they're thinking about it, doing it maybe sometime in the future, all the red flags go up. That means they've been doing it for quite a while. What do you think?
Yeah, no kidding. What's the date on that? Is that a January 2017 article?
March 2017, MIT Technology Review.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar. I have an update on my Gmail. Every time the word chemtrails, geoengineering, solar radiation management, anytime those terms come up on the internet, I'm notified. And so when that first started coming out through Harvard, I was bombarded with all sorts of media outlets were spewing that information of they had a fix for global warming. And if you look into it, it's quite funny the way they spoon feed it to the public. What they say is, first they decided they wanted to use mirrors, and they were going to put mirrors up in space, but they couldn't figure out how to get them all to float the right way and all this stuff. Then they decided they were going to do diamond dust and reflect sunlight by using diamond dust, but diamond dust was too expensive. So then, after realizing that sulfuric acid might kill too many people, now they found that nanoparticulate aluminum is quite inexpensive and it reflects particles perfectly. So that's what they're going to, quote unquote, experiment with.
There was another major geoengineering conference, I think, down in San Diego, maybe 5 years ago. You'll remember, you'll know that one better than I am, but than I do. But again, they were floating that idea back then. Well, we may have to start thinking about this in order to forestall, you know, global warming, and we may need to think about, you know, pouring hundreds and thousands of metric tons of aluminum particulates into the atmosphere, to prevent global warming. So again, They're telling us they're going to do this. And I always suspect, you know, when they're telling us they're going to, it means they already are. Here's the question I've always had regarding chemtrail spraying. And that is, how do you run a fuel mixture with aluminum particulates through a jet engine? Let's say you're using one of these big Hercules, these C-1 transport planes or something like that. Or even a commercial airliner, how do you run aluminum particulates through a jet engine without destroying it?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I haven't had that one in quite some time. What I experienced where I live in Arizona, and when I lived in British Columbia as well, a lot of it's drones with spraying going on. It's not really coming out of the jet engines.
Okay.
And then when it is commercial flights and it looks to be like it's spraying, there's fuel additives and in certain jet fuels that are like JP8, but I'm not super familiar with all of that. I do know that there's patented barium release rocket technology, and these rockets go from the ground directly up, and they look kind of like a glider, and they release barium plumes, and those are just out of like these sprayer kind of things, and then they mix with different drones that have sprayers. And I wouldn't get too hung up on that aspect of it, but I would like to go back really quick while we're talking about the experiment. So here's the normalization agenda timeline that we're dealing with.
Right.
We've been over here debating over the word chemtrails, contrails, geoengineering, and all the while the Tropospheric Aerosol Program was released in 2001. I heard you mention an amazing document, the Air Force document, talking about owning the weather by 2025.
Yes.
I would love it if you would look up the Tropospheric Aerosol Program through the Department of Energy of 2001. That's the TAP program. There they outlined the budget. They even spend $5 million that year on not getting caught unleashing their agenda to control solar energy. And they use all sorts of fancy words like precursor gases, and they grid the skies over a major city, Nashville, Tennessee, and the United States. And they set up everything, their budget on all of it. But they don't use the word chemtrails, contrails, or geoengineering, because the terminology and everything, the entire debate, the entire narrative has been framed. And ultimately, it's to get us where we're at, where now they're unleashing it as a solution to global warming so that they can control everything that we hold dear, our sunlight, our air, our weather, everything as we know it. They're publicly saying that they're going to take control of it because they have, quote, exclusive rights to saving the planet. So what has happened is a small group of, quote unquote, scientists with Bill Gates and other globalists involved, they have come together and set up what's called a solar geoengineering governance regime. They considered things like, should we even consider public health when we launched this regime? But they claim they have exclusive rights to saving the planet. That's a paper. That's another paper you can look up. The exclusive rights of saving the planet through geoengineering patents. And what they claim is they have the ability and they shouldn't have to follow any laws, and that they need to launch full-scale deployment immediately to block out the sun everywhere, to dim our skies, to whiten the skies. No more blue skies for anybody, anywhere, ever. And they want to mimic a volcanic eruption. That's what they call it. They're calling it a Mount Pinatubo effect. Mount Pinatubo, it erupted in the Philippines in 1991.
Right.
And supposedly, according to science, the sulfuric dust, all the dust went in the atmosphere all over the planet, and the global mean temperature declined approximately 1 degree Celsius. Well, they claim they want to mimic a volcanic eruption, but with aluminum or something else that they might experiment with. But we all know it's aluminum because it's already showing up in the rainwater. But if we want to play the game of the official narrative, that's the story. And so they want to launch full-scale deployment and do it everywhere all the time. They say that their experiment won't even work unless they do it everywhere all the time and mimic a volcanic eruption and spray the skies everywhere all at once. But first, they have to have their experiment. So they're having the experiment to basically get consent from the public, because our silence is somehow our consent in this weird dystopian, I don't even want to live on this timeline anymore, but for some reason, all of a sudden, if you don't speak up, you're consenting to things. That's the world we now live in.
Right.
But either
it's
way,
the negative billing option, we call it up here in Canada. Matt, hold on. We'll come back. And incidentally, Matt is correct. It's the Tropospheric Aerosol Program, March 2001, the Department of Energy. And I'll read you a little bit of the foreword. From Dr. Ari Patrinos, Associate Director of Biological and Environmental Research, Office of Science, U.S. Department of Energy. It's quite a title, and wait till you hear this. Back with more. Stay with us.
Take a look around. What do you really see? This is where you can tell all about it. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Providing the evidence and letting you draw your own conclusions. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett. Chari Croplin tweets, I am an airline pilot. Contrails are frozen ice nuclei. When I look up at contrails, they look white. When I look down on contrails from a higher altitude, they look black. It's not chemicals. Sorry. All right. Now, thanks to Matt Landman for setting us onto this tropospheric aerosol program that was this study released in March of 2001 by the Department of Energy. And let me just read here quickly from the... What's his title again? Associate Director for Biological and Environmental Research, Office of Science, U.S. Department of Energy, Dr. Ari Patrinos. The Department of Energy and its predecessor agencies, the Atomic Energy Commission and the Energy Research and Development Administration, have a long and enviable record of accomplishment in the science of atmospheric aerosols. This research, which had its genesis in the study of fallout from atmospheric weapons testing, has found valuable new application in understanding the environmental effects of fossil fuel combustion and allied energy-related activities. Now, consistent with the nation's desire to preserve and enhance our environment and minimize the risk to human health and welfare from atmospheric pollutants, the atmospheric science research community faces a new challenge to develop sensible and effective strategies to achieve the new National Ambient Air Quality Standard for fine particles, the so-called PM 2.5 standard. Achieving this standard in a way that will have minimum impact on the nation's ability to meet its energy requirements requires a much more complete understanding of the processes governing the loading, composition, and microphysical properties of these aerosols than is now available. Just bear with me now. Fine particles are implicated in another important issue that may affect the nation's energy economy, namely climate change. Fine particles scatter solar radiation, decreasing the amount of the sun's energy that is absorbed by the planet and thereby exerting a cooling influence on climate. The magnitude of this influence is not known for certain, but certain estimates indicate that it is comparable to the warming influence of increased concentrations of greenhouse gases and may consequently be offsetting a major fraction of the greenhouse warming that would otherwise have been experienced over the industrial period. So here they're telling us they're going to start experimenting. This is in 2001, by spraying fine particles into the atmosphere in order to ameliorate the effects of global warming. And that was 2001. That's 17 years ago, folks, but we can all relax. This report was printed on recycled paper. All right. So, Matt, thank you again for that. Now, you mentioned another study. What was that one in conjunction with this one, this Department of Energy study?
I don't recall. The barium. No, I don't recall.
I'm sorry. Yeah, my apologies. I was just talking too long, and I got you side railed there.
But I can continue. What I was talking about was this experiment that was going to unfold, and the entire unfolding of the agenda at hand. So what we've witnessed is, over just the past year, there has been a complete shift into, you can tell your flight attendant who commented, it's no longer a conspiracy theory. There is no theory behind it. It is being launched publicly as a solution to global warming, and the media is literally showing us chemtrail photos saying, this is what we're going to do to save you. So let's just talk the time for conjecture and arguing over ice crystals. That time is over now, okay, flight attendant woman. So let's go into the present tense. The present tense is there's an experiment. It is being launched in Tucson this year, Tucson, Arizona. I moved my family from Vancouver, British Columbia, after having made Frankenskies the movie. Please check it out, frankenskiesthemovie.com. Frankenskies is on YouTube as well. And I even interviewed former Premier of British Columbia, Bill Vanderzam, in the film. And he is totally outraged about the chemical spraying and knows all about it. So there's some for the Canadians that want to see a politician talking about it. There you have it. And we came down to Arizona for this experiment. We're now living in Arizona to have the third global summit to stop geoengineering, along with having a protest and bringing awareness and scrutiny to this experiment. If this experiment goes according to plans, the solar geoengineering governance regime, a regime put in place, a self-proclaimed regime to block out the sun. Okay, this isn't just a theory that flight attendants get to scoff at anymore. All right, I'm done attacking her. I'm sorry about that. But
actually, I think it was a he. I think he was a pilot. I don't know what kind of a pilot.
Oh, he's lying. He's a girl. I'm just kidding. So seriously, it's, and I can tell you why the people have no ability to even think that it could even be going on. And I've thought about it, and I've thought about it, because I've devoted my life to this, and I'm trying to get every intricacy down. And as I'm meeting people on the street and doing these shows, I've been able to narrow it down into this. It's a compartmentalization, indoctrination, and need-to-know basis. It's actually not in that order. It's the order is indoctrination, compartmentalization, need-to-know basis. And that's how people get away with doing their job and not having to worry about the fact that maybe their plane is spraying people, and maybe their Air Force friends are spraying people, or whatever it may be, because they're not connected to the overall thing. They're being told that they're saving the world from global warming. So if this experiment goes down according to plans in Tucson, Arizona, they're going to go up in a balloon. The balloon's going to hover over Arizona with actually a tube going to the ground, two canisters of chemicals. It's not even like the balloon has to carry the payload. It's hovering with a tube. And then the tube will spray different chemicals in the sky to see which ones work best to block out the sun. They just happen to be using different variable sizes, nanoparticulate sizes of oxidized aluminum. Lo and behold, that's what's showing up in our rainwater. That's what's showing up in the geoengineering patents for a couple of decades. That's what's showing up in the trees and everywhere. The bees are colony collapse disorder from it. Even the different plants that are being researched by the Department of Agriculture and the lichen are showing up with toxic levels of aluminum because they're getting their nutrients through the air. They breathe the air and get their nutrients, and all they're getting is aluminum from all this aerosolized aluminum that's already being sprayed. But either way, let's talk about the present tense. If their experiment goes well and they find the solution, which they claim to be the solution, which is to dim the sunlight to save us from this heating that is supposedly going on, then they want to launch full-scale deployment and do that everywhere, from balloons and from planes, and have no more blue skies for anybody on Earth anymore for, they say, a few years until they get to see if it's working or not.
But aren't they doing that now, Matt? I mean, isn't this a canard, this idea that they're going to do this experiment? They're climatizing us, excuse the pun, they're sort of acclimatizing us to this idea that they're going to do this, but they've been doing it, haven't they, for decades?
Well, if you see my film Frankenskies, they've been gearing up for this for almost a century. But I like to speak in the present tense so that I can even get people like that flight attendant on my side, because a lot of people aren't ready to wake up to this. It's a very small percentage. I know you know about the demographic of the people in the world that we live in, and most people aren't ready to wake up to much, especially something so grandiose and traumatic as this. But this is the truth. And if we don't act and speak up, our voices will be too late in the not too distant future. The one thing that I want everyone to take away from listening to this show is the next generation. I don't care if you want to sit and play video games, okay? It's your bloodline. It's your ancestry. All of the work that has been done to get us to where we're at, your ancestors fought for you to get here. And we're one generation away from children who don't get to know what a blue sky is like, okay? It's up to us to come together for the children. It's not about, oh, his ego and this conspiracy and this and that. It's about the future of humanity.
How many tons, metric tons of aluminum particulates would they need to put into the atmosphere? Have you seen any calculations, any estimates, in order to forestall this global warming bogeyman?
David W. Keith is the guy. He's from Calgary, and then he went to Harvard, but he was educated and grew up in Calgary, and he's this Harvard professor, and he's their primary solar geoengineer. He has shown the different how many tons. I don't remember off the top of my head. He even puts a dollar amount on it annually, which I believe was only 20 billion or only, I think it might have been 100 billion, pardon me. But either way, all of that is just manipulation of the narrative to tell people that this problem reaction solution agenda is our only choice, which it's not. They're creating the problem with ionospheric heating technology. The thing about this big global warming climate change discussion is the huge elephant in the room, which is weather engineering, which is ionospheric heaters, okay? So for the people listening, I know a lot of you have heard of Nikola Tesla and frequency manipulation, and HAARP is something that a lot of people know about. It's an acronym, H-A-A-R-P. It stands for Highly Active Auroral Research Program.
Right, which we've done a number of shows on that, yeah.
Terrific. Yeah, it's an antenna array in Alaska, and they put the antenna's focus at a focal point in the atmosphere where the chemtrails are administered, and then they can superheat the atmosphere with frequency. Well, they've taken that technology and they've shrank it and they've put it all over the place. So there's ionospheric heaters all over the place. Like, I'm talking even to the degree that there's 20, 30 of them in the United States. They're all over the world. And they superheat portions of the atmosphere to steer around weather and to make storms and to curve the jet stream or to create drought and to just play God with our weather without our consent, without any scrutiny or transparency whatsoever. And then when we talk about global warming, the heating of the atmosphere isn't even taken into consideration. Okay, so to have that conversation, we have to go there for one. And then two, through the problem reaction solution scenario, this Hegelian dialectic that they've created, their solution to it is the exact problem, the exact thing that we're up against is their solution, spraying the skies and creating the greenhouse effect and then superheating it with these ionospheric heaters to get the metallic particles to suspend in the atmosphere. And they're going to do that, and it's going to heat the planet. And then they're going to say that they have to do it more to save us. How is that okay? This is our everything.
What is the connection between skyrocketing Alzheimer's cases and Parkinson's and heart attacks, for example, after, you know, we hear reports after some of these sprayings in California, the trips to emergency for heart attacks and so forth, it just spikes. Has anyone done a study sort of correlating or at least comparing the when there's a lot of spraying activity to increases in Alzheimer's and these sorts of things?
There's an activist, his website is stopsprayingus.com, Patrick Roddy, and he's been digging really deep into the death records, and it's really amazing how much information is hidden from people who are inquiring. And another thing that I was really impressed that you looked up that Tropospheric Aerosol Program document so fast. Thank you, by the way. And one thing that I would encourage you to also look up is the word thunderstorm asthma. Did you ever catch those headlines, thunderstorm asthma?
I have not heard of that before.
So, thunderstorm asthma. So if you watch my film Frankenskies, you'll see that it's just quite insane that a whole dozen, 12 new clouds were introduced just in the past year. And they're all part of the geoengineering agenda. They're each one some sort of aerosolized nanoparticulates, and they're calling them different cloud names as they normalize the agenda to tell us that this is our solution to everything. And then they're going to end up charging us for it through the carbon agenda, but that's just a whole other story. But if you look at this thunderstorm asthma, you've got people having orange clouds come in, and then they're dropping dead on the street from what's barium. It's too much barium. They're spraying too much barium, and they had to make up a whole name for it. I encourage you to look that one up.
There you go. It's a thing, folks. It's a thing. Thunderstorm asthma, the triggering of an asthma attack by environmental conditions directly caused by a local thunderstorm. Sure. All right, back with more of my conversation with Matt Landham. And the movie is Frankenskies, the movie. Check it out, frankenskiesthemovie.com. Frankenskiesthemovie.com. Back with more.
You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Peering into the shadows, where the truth often hides. You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
Welcome. Matt Landman is with us, activist, filmmaker, frankenskiesthemovie.com. If you want to check it out, frankenskiesthemovie.com. You mentioned something very interesting. Well, you've mentioned a lot of very interesting things, but a word in particular that I sort of latched onto, and that was compartmentalization. Because a gentleman we've had on the program a couple of times, J. Marvin Herndon, has, when describing geoengineering, he's referred to this as the New Manhattan Project. The New Manhattan Project. And people always say, well, how do you keep these things a secret? And you can't keep such operations a secret. That's why conspiracies don't happen. And one of the great examples of how you can do that is the Manhattan Project through compartmentalization. Over 600,000 people worked on the Manhattan Project. And yes, eventually it leaked out and then the Russians got word of it. But during its peak years, nobody knew about it. The wives of the scientists and not to be sexist, but predominantly they were men, male scientists working on the Manhattan Project. This is back in the 40s. 600,000 employees. Now, at its peak at one time, about 125,000, but cumulatively, about 600,000 people worked on the Manhattan Project, and the wives didn't even know. So what do you think of that analogy, the New Manhattan Project, Matt?
I love it. And that was then when there was actually investigative journalists that weren't all controlled. Imagine what it's like today when all of the media and everything that we're exposed to is completely controlled, with all of the censorship that we're seeing and this Operation Mockingbird from the CIA in full effect. And this, it's basically a complete attack on discernment. We don't even know up from down at this point, but none of the information is getting out. So, yeah, I love the analogy. A lot of people don't even know about half the things that are going on. There's even public programs that people don't know about, such as the CARE program. It's CARE stands for Charged Aerosol Release Experiment. And that program is through good old trusted NASA, who NASA has a budget of $52 million per day daily budget of $52 million. And they have a fleet of planes that make noctilucent clouds. They call them noctilucent clouds. And they publicly do it. They mix barium, aluminum, strontium, nanoparticulate, oxidized, aerosolized versions of these poisonous heavy metals that we should not have in our air, our ozone, any of this. None of it should be up there. And they, quote, use the atmosphere as a laboratory. That's a NASA quote, that they use the atmosphere as a laboratory. And this is a public you can Google it. You can just – it's right there. And still, no one knows. So imagine if they really wanted to be covert and black ops after 9/11. Mind you, the Tropospheric Aerosol Program, that document, it came out in 2001, and then a few months later was 9/11. So no one's thinking about chemtrails at that point. They're thinking about terrorism and all that stuff. But after 9/11, half of the budget went black ops. The people, the congressional members, those people signing these huge checks, they don't even know where that money is even going. So we've got public projects like the CARE program, again, shrouded in all of these different terminologies. We've got solar radiation management, stratospheric aerosol injections, the CARE program, and all these different projects, all of them not using the word chemtrails, but all of them actually chemtrails, and then demonizing the word chemtrails through their controlled narrative. It's quite a task, and they've done an amazing job at controlling the dialogue.
I mentioned Dr. Marvin Herndon, who's calling this the New Manhattan Project. Do you follow Dr. Herndon? Are you in communication with Marvin Herndon at all?
Yeah, I went down to San Diego when I first started digging into this. There's not a name in the whole chemtrail book that I haven't because I've literally devoted my entire existence to this. This wasn't my life. Like, I didn't really expect, or I did not expect to wake up to a world like this in my 30s, no less, and have this complete shift in perspective and life ambition and everything. And so here I am. That was 3 years ago. I went down to San Diego and interviewed J. Marvin Herndon and talked to him about all of it. And he opened my eyes to first of all, he talks about the coal fly ash.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about that. How do you feel about it?
It's coming up in the rainwater. And this opens up an amazing segue back to that Tropospheric Aerosol Program, Department of Energy. So once I started really going with it, doing all these different conferences and getting around, I had different people approaching me saying that they knew exactly where the trains were taking it and all this stuff. And these trains were going directly from coal burning power plants full of this sludge, and they were going directly to Air Force bases. And these people were talking about stopping these trains and all this stuff. And I'm like, well, this has got to be something I should look into. So we started following the money, and I talked to these different researchers, and come to find out the Department of Energy is just so involved in this. It's not even funny. So
Matt, I got to jump in. Apologies. Yeah. Got to take a quick time out. We'll come back and we'll continue to talk about coal fly ash and aluminum particulates and geoengineering. Back with Matt Landman, frankenskiesthemovie.com. Stay with us.
The owners of the system are asleep. Now we can play. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Question everything. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio.
FrankenskiesTheMovie.com. Check it out. How long ago did you make that movie, Matt?
It was released in June of 2017. And really what was funny about that is we were right on the verge of some incredible shift in censorship online. Okay, I was getting traction online, as were a lot of other truth speakers. And little did I realize that I was 1 month away from the brakes on everything. So I was just chomping at the bit to get the film out. I released this director's cut, which is the version that's on YouTube right now. And I've got frankenskiesthemovie.com with a slightly newer version. And what it was is I just wanted to get the information out immediately. I thought that I was going to be making a film telling people that chemtrails existed, you know, so there wasn't much of a timeline. I wasn't going to run out of time or anything. I was just going to say, hey, look, you guys really have to look at the skies. Like, what's going on? And finally, as the film reached almost completion, all of a sudden this agenda came out with these new clouds and this agenda to normalize it and to tell us that there's federal funding going towards Harvard research to block the sun with what looks exactly to be exactly what I was trying to tell people existed. So it was a blessing and a curse. So I had to shift in that direction and change my story a little bit. But let's get back to the Department of Energy, because it is an amazing
coal fly ash.
It is an amazing thing once you start putting it together. And once the puzzle pieces come together, it's like, oh, well, that makes perfect sense. Think about it. You've got these oil and coal companies, these rich, evil people that pollute the environment. They don't care about us. And you've got solar power coming along, and the solar wafers are getting more efficient, and people are utilizing the sunlight, and they don't want us to be able to do that. So for one, they were like, okay, well, let's block out the sun and we can nip that in the bud, and then we can actually get control of everything, and whoever wants blue skies will have to pay us lots of money or whatever, because they're evil, I guess. And then on top of that, they have coal fly ash, and they didn't know what to do with it. So when you have coal burning power plants, which are, there's a lot of them, especially in the United States, they burn the coal, and the coal ash, I'm sorry, the coal soot, once it's burned, the smoke goes through the smokestack, but there's a filtration process. And when it's filtered, there's this disgusting toxic sludge that they wash out that's all nanoparticulate, all these disgusting things. And these same signatures are coming up in the rainwater on heavy spray days, according to the research of the J. Marvin Herndon. But what's really staggering is the trains are going directly to the Air Force bases from those facilities. So you've got the Department of Energy, who also, now it gets even more interesting, because in this weather engineering, controlling the weather program that has gone into the private sector now, and it's not just the U.S. Air Force trying to control it all, they actually make fake weather and clouds through the plumes of the power plants. And I know this sounds far-fetched, but this is actually happening. These power plants can dictate when they release moisture plumes, and the plumes are gigantic. And suppose, say, Hurricane Harvey was coming over to Houston, and they wanted to juice the storm and make it twice and three times as big and keep it fueled, they can selectively determine when they release these gigantic moisture plumes and what locations. And it's actually part of the entire agenda that controls the weather in the United States, at least. So you've got that, and then you've got the refinement process, the Air Force base. They can just pull the nanoparticulate, cadmium, aluminum, strontium, barium, all these dirty metallics. They're the byproduct of burning the coal. So they don't even have to go out and get it. So the Department of Energy just dishes it to the U.S. Air Force, and they just work together in spraying the skies to control everything. And now they're trying to convince the world that their evil scheme is actually the solution to another problem that they actually made up too.
You know, it's interesting that so they're taking this byproduct of coal-fired plants, this coal fly ash, and then they're dumping that back into the atmosphere. They got to get rid of it somehow. They got to use it somehow. Well, here's something useful we can do with it. It's almost like, you know, the aluminum, the byproduct from, or sorry, the fluoride, the byproduct from making aluminum. They got permission to dump that into the water because they had to get rid of it. They had to do something with it. And then you have the fluoride combining with aluminum. It bonds and combines with oxygen. And this is what's being found in Alzheimer's patients. So it's just like they just keep, you know, creating this garbage and then feeding it back to us. It's like, you know, circus animals eating their own feces or something. It's just horrible.
No kidding. And it's really important. And I'm glad that you brought that up, brother, because the fluoride is a really important part of the agenda. And so now I'd love to segue into how you can empower and inspire yourself with this knowledge to actually take your health into your own hands and be the best that you can be with the truth, because the truth really, it sets you free. Don't let it don't let it upset you. I know when you really wake up to all of it, it is a little upsetting, but ultimately it's part of the empowerment process. So one thing really important to avoid is that fluoride. You have to have the water needs to be reverse osmosis. It can't just be filtered. If it's got fluoride in it, you need to get it out. Also, these teas and the kombuchas and sodas and all these things, there's fluoride in it, the toothpaste. You got to make sure there's no fluoride in that, because the fluoride, you don't realize this, it plays a very important role in escorting that aluminum into your brain. The aluminum that you're being sprayed with, nanoparticulate levels in the air, the aluminum that you're exposed to in your deodorants and other foods and all this stuff, it gets in your bloodstream but doesn't pass your blood-brain barrier. After you're an infant, you have a blood-brain barrier. And fluoride, it can pass that, and it actually escorts the aluminum past your blood-brain barrier. And like I say in my film Frankenskies, and Patrick Roddy, researcher, discloses that Alzheimer's is now the leading cause of death in the UK. That is staggering. I mean, for history, it's been heart attack and cancer and all this. Now Alzheimer's is the leading cause of death in the UK. They get sprayed like bugs over there, and it's with this nanoparticulate aluminum. It's killing the bees, it's killing the humans, it's killing the plants, and we can't let it go down. So first of all, take the health into your own hands. Start to experiment with different chelation methodologies. Look it up. Chelation, C-H-E-L-A-T-E, that's chelate. And you can do it with spirulina, you can do it with chlorella, you can do it with bentonite clay or zeolite clay, even cilantro helps, asparagus really helps pull these heavy metals out of your body. Like, get the heavy metals out of your body and then learn that you need to mineralize. Everybody is mineral deficient. If you eat or have ever eaten sugar in your entire life, you are magnesium deficient. Every molecule of sugar that you ingest, it takes 54 molecules of magnesium to process that one molecule of sugar. So it's a 54-to-1 ratio. It's wild. Look it up. And we really need that. Right. We need magnesium. And it's not very bioavailable in the sources that we can get it from, such as chocolate and greens and what have you. But chlorophyll is really important. The central atom in the chlorophyll molecule is magnesium. So get your greens, get them. I've got a juicer, you know, but like, do what you can and get mineralized. You can get these colloidal monatomic elements. They're plant-based, and they even have these metals in them. The noble metals, especially the gold, palladium, silver, all that stuff. We need that stuff. Our food and our soil no longer has it.
It's so depleted. Our soil is so depleted. You know what's interesting, though?
Exactly.
And tie this all into it back to the aluminum, and that is the aluminum alkalizes. I always have trouble with that word. Alkalizes the soil. So what is Monsanto doing? They're creating these plants that thrive in alkalized soil. So that kind of brings it full circle.
If I can just finish really quick, and also, think about alkalinizing your body and research Dr. Sebi, S-E-B-I. But ultimately, the mineralization is so important, and I'll end with this, because if you're mineralized, your body isn't absorbing these toxins from the air. So if you're up to date, if you're up to speed with your minerals from getting the minerals from a supplement and taking care of your body, you won't absorb the chemtrails that are being sprayed on you, and you won't get Alzheimer's, and you won't get sick, because you're not mineral deficient.
I had that backwards. The aluminum acidifies the soil.
Alkalinizes it, surprisingly. Yeah.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, you want to be alkaline in your body, but not in your soil.
Okay. Thank you for that. Tell us about the big global summit to stop geoengineering coming up in May.
Okay, so like I was saying, I moved down from Vancouver, Canada, to Arizona to host this conference to bring scrutiny and transparency and awareness to this launch of a balloon that's going to spray aluminum in the skies over Tucson to save us from global warming, to launch this agenda, to put us on this timeline, to having full-scale deployment, Mount Pinatubo effect, where the sun is blocked out in a couple years, and the next generation and the next generation and the next generation after that don't get to ever see blue skies. Okay, so I am hosting an event on May 12th at the university there at the Gallagher Theater. I have a website for it, stopgeoengineeringtucson.com. Tucson is spelled Tucson, T-U-C-S-O-N, for people that don't know. And what we're going to do on May 12th is we're going to come together. We've got the best speakers on the topic. We've got Ilana Freeland, myself. We've got Clifford Carnicom, and I've got music and other speakers. Patrick Roddy will be there. We've got a nurse speaking and people talking about all of the truth that is behind how we got to where we're at and how to move forward in a direction of scrutiny and transparency where the human right to a say in environmental decision making is actually taken into consideration. So I'm going to follow it up with a Mother's Day protest out front of the media station. We're going to the major news broadcaster in Tucson. We're going to have a protest. We're going to have signs that say we do not consent to solar geoengineering. We're going to have signs that say we demand unbiased media coverage, because we can at least start there and have the media tell the world that we do not consent. And then ultimately, we're going to have enough momentum so that when they do have their experiment in Tucson, we're going to rally and show the world through our protest that we do not consent to this.
Well, that's the key. I mentioned UFO disclosure off the top and how they finally, you know, they've pushed that needle with that New York Times article in December. That's what we need in this arena as well with the geoengineering, is to have one brave news gathering organization, one brave reporter, journalist who actually sort of breaks through that glass ceiling and writes a serious article about this. There's, as I said, there's a Pulitzer Prize waiting for someone to do that.
Yeah, I think the chemtrails is the most important thing facing humanity. As far as if you really get into the nitty gritty, we have to do something about it. I have this whole story about the monarch butterfly that I'll spare you. But what happens with the monarch butterfly is each generation is so important. If they don't make it to their next generation, they don't set the stage for the next generation to even have a species. Okay, we're talking about the future of our species. This isn't anything less than that. So it's our time to come together, set aside our differences, and tell the world that we do not consent to solar geoengineering before it's too late.
FrankenSkiesTheMovie.com. Matt, a real pleasure. We'll have you on again. Thank you.
Thank you.
My thanks to Ian, Albert, and Ryan. Back next week with Preston Dennett, Underseas UFO Bases, and Angela Thomas, Psychic. In the meantime, don't be afraid. There's nothing concealed that won't be revealed. Nothing hidden that won't be made known. What you hear in the dark, speak in the light. What I say in a whisper, proclaim from the housetops. Move over, Aphrodite. I'm coming home. Good night.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.